Heavenly Father, thank you for the great weather we've had, God. Thank you for the another chance to hear your word. Pray that you would give Peter the words to speak, give him liberty, give us ears to hear. In the Lord Jesus Christ, to pray, amen.
Okay. So, tonight we're going to be, I'm going to be, and we're not going to be, if we all start preaching, that'll be really weird if we're all speaking in tongues and everything, because we shouldn't do that. But I'm relatively nervous to preach on this because it is something I also struggle with, and that is praising God. But not just praising God, because it's easy to praise God when you're in a good place. It's praising God all the time. So when you're in a bad place. I was talking to Timothy, and I'm like, it seems, at least with myself, it seems I will walk in sin or disobey God. So all of a sudden, God's not nigh to me, and I decide, well, I guess I won't praise God because he's not nigh to me. And yet I'm the one that caused that, which is a foolish way to act. I may be the only one that does that. I don't know. But I was just telling him, it's... Yes, you can leave. Bye. It's so easy for us to find excuses not to praise God. It's very, like, I had a rough day. I'm going to sit in here in church and just, I won't praise God. We won't ever say it like that. It's just, I don't feel like I should be able to praise God right now. A big one, I'm just really tired. I'm just going to sit here and listen to the hymns. But he commands you to sing his praises. So we're just going to look at a few different places. I did not write down every single place it tells you to praise God in the Bible, because in the Psalms alone, that's like 200 and some odd times. And I'm going to try to be relatively quick tonight for all of you that live close by. I'm sorry for the Fords. They still will be nighttime by the time they get home. And Stephen.
Nice speed.
Yeah, Stephen will get that. Plenty of daylight left then. So let's start with Psalms 147. A lot of these are going to be in the Psalms. Like I said, the Psalms mentions praising God a lot. Because you know what Jesus Christ did a lot? He praised God. Psalm 147. These first two psalms I wrote down, I figured I'd just read them all the way through. I'll read through relatively quickly, hopefully, because they're shorter. I think there's only 22 in each psalm. So Psalm 147. I say that like I'm saying that to help all you guys get there and remind you, but I wasn't there. It was just buying me time. So Psalm 147. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. So right out of the gate, tells you to sing praises to God because it is pleasant. I don't know about you guys. I love to sing the hymns. Taryn walked in and got to hear me screeching out hymns. You know what? I was feeling somewhat off when I showed up down here. I told you I was very worried about preaching this. So I just came down and sang some hymns because hymns comfort me. I read my Bible some, read through all these verses, sang some more hymns. I know as a lost person, when I was gone for a year, I've spoken about this in my testimony a little bit, one of the things I really missed was the hymns. I don't get homesick ever, really. But I greatly missed the hymns here. Because it's praising God, and even as a lost person, I knew there was something different. And I'm not a great enjoyer of music. I really don't enjoy much music. But I've never not enjoyed the hymns. So let's read through this. This will give us some reasons to praise God, because I know we have those excuses, like, I just can't see anything to praise God for in my life right now. He really hasn't done much for me. Because that's what the Bible tells you. Praise God when he's done something for you. It's not what it says. I'm being facetious there for anyone listening later. But he gives you reasons to praise him. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Right there's great things to praise him for.
Amen.
He can call the stars by name. What a wonderful thing to praise God for. Great is our Lord, and of great power is his great power, his understanding is infinite. You can praise God for his infinite understanding. He understands everything. He understands exactly what you're going through. Wherever you are, whatever mindset, whatever sin you're in, he understands what you're going through.
Right.
So praise him for that if you have to. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Again, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Granted, we don't have a harpist here. Be wonderful if we did. Samantha?
No.
But sing those praises to God. For those things it's already said he did. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. We're about to come into some that some people have trouble praising Lord, but I don't. He giveth snow like woal. He scattereth the hoar frost like ashes. But snow is a good thing, though. If you know anything about farming or anything like that, snow's a wonderful thing.
Not this month.
He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters to flow. You can just praise God for the wind blowing, for the waters flowing. I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but I've had times where I've walked up my road at night and just looked up at the sky and I thought, this is wonderful.
Yeah, amen.
This is amazing what God's done.
Amen.
Funny thought, the pastor talks about everything being new. The thought only recently clicked to me, Pastor. The most beautiful place I've ever witnessed was when I was in California in one of their state parks. I came over a hill and saw everything. I'm like, this is beautiful. But it only recently clicked when you were preaching one of those times where you said that. I was like, oh, I was just recently saved. So yeah, everything looked beautiful to me at that time. That's just a fun fact I give you guys. But I can praise God over that stuff. Because even before salvation, I would never call, my pride would not let me call things beautiful.
Right.
No, I'd be like, oh, that looks cool. Because I'm a man, I have to say things like, you can't say things are beautiful. But no, it was the most beautiful place I've ever seen. Yet. Because I'll be going someplace else that will look much, much more beautiful. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Which we'll get into a little bit later, the inheritance. But if you're saved, you won't have to deal with those judgments that are coming.
Amen.
You won't. When God comes back, when Jesus comes back, you will not have to deal with those judgments because you'll be taken away.
Mm-hmm. No.
So let's go to Psalm 33. Actually, I spoke of that inheritance, and this is the chapter that speaks of it. Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. It's kind of funny, you see a lot of like, if you ever listen to any like bass music, kind of low, but it says with a loud noise.
Nice.
It really is true. Like piano, quite loud, especially if you sit right next to it. I enjoy it though because it helps me. But it says you sing those praises. It says play skillfully with a loud noise, which I believe most of our pianists here play skillfully. I haven't heard one who hasn't played skillfully. Granted, that's coming from me who can't play the piano. I can one note my way through Jesus Loves Me, and I get halfway and get confused. So I think it's a wonderful thing that they can play those that music, and we can sing praises to God with it.
Amen.
For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. Right there, it gives you a reason, because it says all of that. Then it says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. That's one of the reasons you sing and you praise God. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. It didn't say there, because he did something for you. Says, the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. That's why you give him praise. It's one of the reasons. There's many reasons to give him praise. I would highly recommend looking them up at different times and reading through them, especially if you're feeling down. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the hope and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Again, because the heavens were made, you praise him. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Let's go back one more verse there, where it's talking about him commanding all that. He's talking about creation there. Have you ever praised God for just creating everything? You ever read through Genesis and just said, amen?
Amen. Come on. Mm-hmm.
You should praise him over that stuff. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. That's verse 11. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. So who are those people that he chose for inheritance? It's all the people who are saved. Those who have Jesus Christ living on the inside, gone through the new birth. And just so we can prove it, I wrote down two verses that go into it. Let's go to Acts 20, 32. We're going to go to two places here just to do it. Look at it. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So we're the sanctified. It'd be us. Sanctified by Christ. But just so we can go past and say, oh, that could still be the Jews. Let's go to one more place. Let's go to Acts 26. This is Paul speaking to Agrippa, King Agrippa. Acts 26, 15 through 18. This is Paul giving part of his testimony to King Agrippa of what happened to him on the road to Damascus. He's telling what God had said to him. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." So he's sending him unto the Gentiles. That would be us. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So right there was Paul sent to the Gentiles for. To give them that inheritance among those that are sanctified in faith.
Amen.
So it shows back here, let's jump back, let me find the verse real quick. Verse 12 of Psalms 33. I should have told you all to keep your fingers there, but I didn't because I wanted to slow you all down. Nice. It's because you're a veteran of this. Okay, so Psalm 33, verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." So we are those people, if you're saved, so you can praise God for that. Because you're blessed, he says. Doesn't matter what you do, you're blessed. Doesn't matter how you feel, you're blessed. Let us go to Psalms 47. Psalms 47, verse 6. We like to talk about how things, if they're said multiple times, you should maybe pay heed. Well, I found multiple times in one verse.
Nice.
That's why I wrote it down. I thought that's very interesting. Especially since, one, our church is somewhat known for our singing of the hymns.
47.
Granted, I hope we never get proud about that because God can take that away in a second.
Amen, that's right.
You should sing the praises to God because you're praising God. That's why when people get up there and say, pay attention to those things you're singing. I think it's wonderful. I never used to do that. I used to just belt it out to belt it out. But a lot of those hymns are people just writing down testimonies
right.
Almost.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly
they just
right.
Add music to them.
Yep.
So it's the same as someone standing up and giving a testimony. Would you just kind of ignore it? No, you pay. Well, you should pay attention. I won't say you would pay attention. But right here, Psalm 47, verse 6. "Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises." That sounds like a command to me. Sounds like he's telling you to sing praises. Yeah, because it even goes to sing praises unto our King. It talks about him being made king of the heathens, or over the heathens, not king of the king over the heathens. He's king over the whole earth. So sing praises to him.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, well, I believe I just wrote down no reference here because I want to read the whole thing. Psalm 67, "To the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm or a song. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah." causes his face to shine upon us, which some of you who are here for last Sunday or the Sunday before, talking about the light of God's countenance, when he looks upon you, you can start to see yourself. So he says, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations, the way of God. It's another reason to praise. We'll get into it here in a second. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. So it says, let all the people praise thee. What are all the people? Thank you, Stephen. All the people. Everybody. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. So it says, thou shalt judge the people righteously. You can praise God for that.
Amen.
You can sing for joy for that, that he's going to judge righteously. Because I believe most of us in here have probably had people judge us unrighteously. Judge us for something we didn't do. And yet, we can look to God and things to come and know that he'll judge us righteously for those things we did right and those things we did wrong. But it's all righteously. Then, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Again, says that right after the whole thing saying he will judge righteously, which we all fear judgment. I fear judgment sometimes. I do. Pastor, a couple Thursdays ago, had talked about when God had helped him in the pulpit and he didn't deserve that mercy. But then God judged him at a later point. I feared God at that moment.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the times I've gotten in the pulpit, God has showed me great mercy. So I feared those things that would come. But he judges righteously.
Amen.
Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. What is it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Did I say that correctly, Stephen? Well, eventually the beginning of knowledge will be coming to the whole earth.
Amen. Amen. Really good.
Psalm 109. This is Jesus Christ speaking here. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was an example for us. We should live the way Christ lived, follow those things Christ did. So, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. So he's the God of Jesus Christ's praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with the words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him and let Satan stand at his right hand. We'll just stop there. I just wanted to go in because just to show that's Jesus Christ, because the compassed about, we've all listened to the podcast. Most of us probably have listened to the podcast. I won't say we all. It'd be terrible for me to assume that. But I'll just prove it real quick by not just reading and speak on it. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. That's Jesus Christ when they're trying to find those witnesses against him and can't find any. Then they find the two lying witnesses. Pastor preached a little bit on that on Sunday. So that's one point where you can see Jesus Christ. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Because they had to lie on Jesus Christ, there was no reason for them to go against him.
Amen.
I'm just trying to prove this is Jesus Christ to people so they can see what's so important about the first verse. Amen. Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise. He's still praising God when this is happening to him. Many of us were too tired to praise. You know, somebody cut us off in traffic. We can't praise God. And yet Jesus Christ can go to the pits of hell and praise God. And we justify ourselves. I say we, I mean mainly me. Like I said, I do not know what you guys do on an individual basis. Mr. Scotland, I know what happens with him when you honk behind him at a stoplight.
Brakes ripped, don't
I say that in jest, though. Just, I don't know. So you guys could have this stuff down pat. But this is what God showed me to preach tonight. And it's mainly for my benefit. Y'all just get to be here to listen. So let us go to Acts 16:25. We're nearing the end here. Hopefully there'll be some daylight left for some of you, except for Stephen and the Fords. I don't care about your guys' daylight. Ah. Psalm 16:25. I said 24, and that was wrong. Ready? Just another time where... See, we can take Jesus to the extreme, right? Well, Jesus can praise God because it's Jesus. So, let's take it one step back. Some people who aren't Jesus Christ. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So Paul and Silas are both in prison at this point, unjustly so. And they're singing praises to God.
Amen.
And yet, we find excuse. But the Bible many times commands us to praise God.
Amen.
So by not doing it, we're disobeying.
Amen.
Let's go to Ephesians 1, General Electric Power Company. Anyone who needs help. Ephesians 1, let's go to verse 3 through 14, I believe, or I might stop early. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's right there, the first mention of praise here. It's one of those reasons we get saved, is to praise him. You can live those praises where how you live is a praise to God. How you act is a praise to God. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So there again, we obtained an inheritance through him, through his blood, through the adoption, all those things, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So he's talking to saved folk there. Very clearly says it there. Says, the gospel of your, or ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So us being saved brings praises to him.
Amen.
Those angels in heaven praise every time someone comes to Christ. They sing out those praises of God. Because it's not a work of man that someone gets saved. It's a work of God. And that's why it's a praise of God. You're showing forth his works. Let's go to Philippians 4:8. General Electric Power Company, so it should be the very next one. So don't be like me and just flip too fast or you'll miss it. Oh, then don't go all the way back to Galatians. There we go. Philippians 4:8. Ooh, I think I actually wanted to start earlier here. These are the ones I just didn't write down the beginning part. Yes, we're going to start from verse 1. So it's chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudaeus and beseech Syntyche. I don't know how that one said. The pastor will tell everyone later. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement, also and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
You have fellow laborers who you know their names are in the book of life.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It does. But rejoice in the Lord. If you're saved, rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
What else are you going to rejoice in?
Exactly. Good point. Amen.
You think, well, I could rejoice in a new baby, but God gave you that.
Yeah,
so rejoice in the Lord for that.
Amen.
Rejoice in those things he gave you. He gave you a relatively cute baby, Chelsea. We're hoping it doesn't turn out like Nate. If it does, I have to rescind the statement.
Well, Sherry looks like me.
So. More hair, though. And less facial hair. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is the verse I wanted to get to. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Here's a simple one that matches every single thing in that list that you could think on. Jesus Christ.
That's it.
The Word of God.
That's it.
It falls into everything on that list.
Mm-hmm.
And you can praise God over that. Let's go to Hebrews 13. I'm not going to give you what verse to start at because I don't know. I have 15 written, but I think I wanted to start earlier to give context. Well, we'll just do 15, actually. I think it works here. I'd have to read a lot of verses for context with this one. But chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Give the sacrifice of praise.
Amen.
So you offer something of yourself when you praise. Granted, God gave you those things already. So you're just giving back to him. But it is a sacrifice. And a sacrifice of praise. So that is a sacrifice we still offer to this day.
That's right.
Amen.
Revelations 19:5. We're probably going to jump off script right after this one just to go look at one more place. I know it's awful. Revelations 19:5. Let's start actually at verse 1 and work our way down here. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. So you praise God for those things that are coming. And it's one of my favorite places to go to. I'm going to use that. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. This is not because McVeigh has started, or Mr. McVeigh, or Pastor McVeigh, future Pastor McVeigh, however you say it now, has just started on the podcast Peter, which I'm very excited for. I heard what he's going to do, and I'm like, that's exciting, because I've been reading 1 and 2 Peter for about 2 months now, every night. So we're going to go 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. So I'm just going to stop there and just jump ahead slightly, just to prove he wants to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. So we're going to jump down to verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens, and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So he stirs up your pure minds by way of remembrance, those things that are coming, those times that you'll praise him for these things that he's done. For the new heavens and new earth. And I believe that is where I will finish.
Amen.
Mr. Skolton, would you close us in prayer?
1 second, please.
Yes. One.
I'm going to write this down.
Father in heaven, God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and open your book together as a group, God. Amen. Let us get used to being together more. We're going to spend a lot of time together in the future.
Amen.
God, we thank you for bringing this new mouth to speak your word, and I pray that you'll just give liberty and understanding as the men here endeavor to learn in order to teach and to preach, God, and I do pray that you give understanding to the women as they endeavor to learn for their own good and for the good of their children. In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen. Good.